As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good yet God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man declared, "all of these I've kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come to you this morning. And Father, with a joy and with an enthusiasm deep within our soul, because we believe that you are the Lord God Almighty. We believe that Christ came and he died on the cross and he arose again. We believe that the Holy Spirit lives mightily within the heart of every believer. We believe that through repentance and confession, your grace comes to us, and in the waters of baptism, we declare that we no longer live for ourselves, but for you, and you honor that, Lord. And you call us forward into a life of discipleship, into a life of worship, into a life of dwelling in your presence. So God, we come this morning asking that you create in us the pure heart, that you change the things within us that aren't of you, that you mold us and make us and reshape us into the image that you would have us to be. Yet God, many of us are like the young man in the text that we just heard of. We come to Jesus and, oh, we're good at keeping the rules. But each one of us has something, Lord. Each one of us has something that we're holding on to, something that we have yet to offer in submission to the teachings of Christ, something that we haven't repented of, something that even though we know it's not good for us, we keep doing it, God. So this morning, as we think about worship and we think about this gracious invitation to be your people, would you show us, O Lord, of those habits that are hard to break? Would you show us, O Lord, of the hang-ups? Would you show us, O Lord, the stumbling blocks that you continue to try to remove, yet we find some way to pick it up and put it back in our path. God, would you show us? Spirit, would you convict us? And Jesus, will you continue to redeem us so that we worship you with all that we have and all that we are? This is our prayer, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray, and together we say, amen. Last Sunday, we used this highly scientific visual aid that I created in the teacher's workroom to discuss what it looks like when Paul says that we should press on towards the goal that we're being called heavenward in Christ Jesus, and that in worship and in discipleship and in our whole premise of life, we should know exactly where we want to end up. That we long for the gates of heaven. We long for the holy, eternal presence of God. We long. Oh, we long to see just how closely accurate our songs about the golden streets and the crystal seas. When we're walking down heaven's road, if it really sounds like the melody we sang as a child. And so this morning, I want to carry the same premise of if we know where we're going and we know the prize, we understand that we're not just shooting for the circle, we're shooting for the dot right in the middle, because narrow is the road that leads to righteousness. I want us to look at the path that we're on trying to get there. Because the path that we're on trying to get there comes with a great struggle. And one of the hardest parts of that struggle is something I don't know if we've given much attention to. And that's our habits. That's our frequently chosen activities. That's our rituals, that's our liturgies, if you will, our ways that we continue to participate in, that if we were to be in the shoes of the rich young ruler, Jesus would point them out. For the rich young ruler, he was good at keeping the rules. He knew all of them, and he had kept them as a boy, didn't he? And he was expecting a good old attaboy pat on the head from our Savior. And I think some of us, if we're not careful, would do the same thing. We come into worship, and it's like we would come before the Savior and report on what we have done this week, and we've checked this and 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 checked this, and we might even have checked in one of those extras. You know, they're not really required, but we know it makes Jesus smile. And it's like we come in worship and expect Jesus just to give us the old attaboy, whether it's the pat on top of the head or if you're an athlete, it's the good slap up on the butt, you know? Guys get that. Girls are like, what did he say? But the fact is, habits are hard to break, aren't they? You see, in this journey of striving towards the finish line, one scripture says it should be like a race. We're training as an athlete. We should let nothing deter us from our ultimate goal so that we can win the race and gain the prize. But in every one of our lives, there's something that seems to attach itself to our hip or to our elbow or to our shoulders that we allow to continue to be this habit that is not part of leading us closer to Jesus. And I wonder if Jesus was to look at our faith journeys and hear us say, but we try to do all the things right. I just wonder if he would look at me and look at you and say, good job, now go and wrestle that demon and come back and see me. Habits. The perpetual behaviors that aren't leading us closer to Jesus. Somewhere around fifth grade was the first time that somebody opened a can of snuff and said, do you want some? And because it was an older kid that opened the can and put it in front of me, even though everything in me was saying, ugh, something made me think it was a good idea to take some of that stuff and put it in my mouth. And about the second inning, sitting in left field, the lights started moving. Everything in my body refused to accept tobacco inside my lip. But there was something deep within me that thought that habit would be a good idea to participate in. Junior high, high school. I was even so sneaky, I learned that if you put it right here inside your boot, mom and dad won't see it. And I could even tell my mom when she found a can of Copenhagen on my dresser when I was about a freshman, I convinced her it was another friend of mine's, and I just happened to have it in my pocket. Get on to college, and Copenhagen started to get expensive, so I realized I could put Red Man in my mouth and still have the same experience. Being in the outdoors, it convinced me that it was just part of what you were supposed to do when you're out there. And then I marry a beautiful girl who grew up pouring out two of her brother's spit cups her whole life, and she was absolutely disgusted with this practice. And so I told my wife one day that I quit buying it. Because you see, everybody I ran around with had it in their pocket too, so I could quit buying it, but I didn't quit my habit. Somewhere around 9 years ago, Wade was getting to that year and a half, 2-year-old point where he would see something you're doing and he would want to be part of it. And we were building a playset in the backyard in Altus, Oklahoma. And it took my 20-month-old son to say, "Daddy, can I have some?" And I haven't put tobacco in my mouth since that day, 10 years ago. A habit. Something that when I let it get its fingers and tentacles on me, it latched in and the barb stuck deep. And even when I knew it was a good idea to stop, I refused to allow myself to be rehabituated to stop. Because you see, one of the reasons habits are hard to break is you can't just quit a habit. You have to quit a habit and then adopt something else to take the place of that habit. Thank you for that wisdom, Danielle, when we were talking about that this week. You see, when we're trying to figure out what habits, whether it's how you use more of a substance than you should, whether it's something in your personality that you just throw sarcasm out there to protect yourself from some of the ailments, whether it you happen to blend the truth with false reality every now and then, whether it's whatever you want to come in with as that habit, when we're leaning and walking and striving more towards the goal, we have to, at some point, to look at ourselves and saying, what is the baggage that is slowing me down and hindering me from graciously walking into the presence of God? Because you see, when we look at our unhealthy practices, if all we do is say, I'm going to stop that day never comes. At our house, we're trying to change some habits. We tend to have children who leave a path anywhere they've been. You know where they've been because there's shoes and there's clothes and there's empty wrappers and there's half-drank, you know, cups of water. And it's like, where's that child? Oh, it's not hide-and-go-seek. It's point A, point B. Oh, they're in that room because we just have this trail of debris behind them. And so on the way home from school the other day, I was asking Marina, how do we change that? She said, Dad, it takes 21 days. Some research says 30. You see, for the rich young man, he was good at keeping the rules like many of us are. But Jesus is calling us for a life beyond the rules. The author that Chris read well, to love Christ is to obey Christ. But it's not just about the obedience. You see, Jesus is inviting us to holy living within his boundaries because he knows it's what's best for us, but it is simply a vehicle so that our hearts can be changed and transformed more into the image that God wants us to be. And if we know that this miraculous, mysterious power of grace is at work in our lives, if we believe that God actually came down in the form of his Son to save us, to pay the debt that there's no way that we could pay, why in the world would we be content with carrying along all of these stumbling blocks? And all of these practices and all of these habits that are just slowing us down. You see, to worship in spirit and in truth isn't just worshiping within the confines of how God asks us to worship in Scripture. Worshiping in spirit and truth is coming in the presence of God and saying, here's all of me, do with me what you will for your glory. We don't bend on our knees to pray if you choose to do that practice, which I do. So God looks down and says, well, oh, that's sincere. Looky there. I mean, whew. But we're trying to demonstrate with enthusiasm, as Elmer invited us to, God, I want to be here and be changed. Amen? God, I want to be here and be transformed. God, I'm here because you're who you are and I'm not. And so Christ looks at this young, rich, blessed man, and he loved him, so he couldn't leave him like he was. He couldn't leave him like he was. Because I believe Christ would also say, you worship me with your mouth, but your hearts are far from me, as he said in another place. So for the rich young ruler, it was his wealth. It was the stuff he had acquired. And Jesus says, you need to let go of that habit of hoarding. You need to let go of that habit of allowing that tangible wealth give you some type of comfort and trust and security in this world. But for you and I, when Jesus says, thank you for following the rules, but I also want you to consider changing this. What's in your blank? What's in your blank? What's your hang up? What's your habit? What's your practice? What are you holding back from being changed into the image of God? What is it that when you pull into this parking lot, it's almost as if you take that off and you sit in the front seat and say, you stay out here in the car, I'm going to go worship, and then you gladly walk right back into the same situation when you leave this building every time? What is it that you open the Word of God in your meditation and you see texts like we meditated on this morning? Create in me a clean heart, O God. But yet we willingly, continually allow it to be dirtied once again because we won't change our habits and our practices to honor the pure heart that God continually is recreating in our lives because his mercies are new every morning. You see, we're creatures of habit. I can prove it. Everybody fold your arms like this. Everybody, put down the pens and crayons and colors, girls. You can do this too. Everybody, just fold your arms comfortably, however you naturally do it by habit. All right? Switch your arms. How many of y'all feel weird right now? No one told you you need to do it this way or the other way. You naturally formed a habit that's comfortable. And so we know changing habits are hard. Changing habits require us to approach with discipline and conviction that this is worth the pain and the frustration and the disorientation it takes to get out of that way of practice, so that I can be rehabituated into a healthy way to practice. Jesus looked at the rich young man and said, you're used to doing your arms like this in regards to your wealth. Do it like this. And the rich young man said, I don't like that, Jesus. And he walked away sad because he was unwilling. He was unwilling to let that go. Because you see, when you realize whatever the habit or habits are that are struggling your journey towards where you want to be at the goal and the prize of eternal salvation and total redemption in Jesus Christ, it's not simply something that you can just let go of and be, oh, glad that's gone. It takes a retraining of the mind. It takes a reconditioning of the hunger. We have some people in our congregation who have changed their eating practices to healthier habits. And I promise you, and I haven't asked Pam, and I want to put her on the spot, but it wasn't just one day you're like, this is a better way to eat. Anybody who's ever been on a diet knows you love the cheat meals because it lets you go back to what you once knew that in some weird way offered some kind of consolation, even though it was bad for you. So if you quietly sit before God this morning and say, create in me a pure heart, O God, what might God be asking you and reminding you? Man, this area is always needing cleaning up, and I'm willing to keep cleaning you up, but oh, you would be so much healthier if you would change the way you go about doing that. What habits, what rituals, what practices do you continually allow to be stumbling blocks in your response and your journey to a holy God? And once again, I want to remind you, before Jesus pointed out this hard truth to this young man, Scripture says, because he loved him. Because he loved him, he had to point out this habit that was unhealthy. Because he loved him, he had to let him know, thank you for the rules you keep, but please give me your heart as well. That's what I'm looking for. And I promise you, as the man walked away, unable to do what Jesus had asked, I believe Jesus' heart broke. Because you and I are all loving someone who we know that if they would make certain changes in their life, they would be much healthier, right? And we see the same patterns persist in their life, and it hurts us to watch that. It hurts us, especially the closer they are, if we call them child or grandchild or mom or dad. Because we love them. And so as we worship this morning, may our desire to be fully offered to God trump our desire just to keep the rules. May our desire to be clay within the potter's hands and truly be molded however he sees fit, rather than shape ourselves in a way that we think looks good. And may we be willing, as the Spirit points out, which I believe he will if we ask, that habit, that practice, that liturgy in your life isn't helping things much. There's a healthier way to do that. May we be people who are willing to say, okay, I trust that you can lead me through this change. Because we can't sing, change my heart, O God, make me ever new. Change my heart, O God, so I can be like you. We can't sing that and then leave here and God say, okay, let's get to the changing part. Nope, I'm good. We need to rip that page out of the songbook, right? We need to delete that slide from our system. And we sure can't go into our next song and say, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Mold me and make me, Master, I pray. But in the back of our mind saying, yeah, I'm not doing that. Because you see, to be honest worshipers before God means that we are true to our convictions that we declare in song, in prayer, and in word. So when we come to Christ, I do hope he looks at us and says, thank you for seeking to obey me. But thank you even more for giving me every ounce of your being and letting me transform you into who my Father desires you to be. If you find yourself somewhere in the middle of that transformation, praise God. Because you see, somewhere in the middle means you're availing yourself to this, and somewhere in the middle is where we all are. Because we're not there yet, but praise God, we're not where we started. And you may be at the very beginning stages of what discipleship and faith looks like. You find yourself singing these songs, change my heart, oh God, what in the world does that mean? I'd love to talk to you more about that. Or maybe in your journey, you have become aware of a habit, a snag, a hang-up, and it seems like every time you try to address it, Satan continues to win the battle. And we as a church have a way to come alongside you and lift you in prayer and encourage you, don't give up now. But the invitation is to deal with whatever's in our blank. When Jesus looks at us and says, yes, you have kept the rules, thank you. Now I need you to deal with this. Do we have the faith to deal with that one? Let's consider that and the call to Jesus. If we may serve you in any way, let us know as we stand and as we sing.
After thy will.